This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go, final hour of the show, 60 minutes on the clock. It's Nick's birthday, people. If you didn't know, hear ye, get the message delivered throughout the city of H-Town. It is Nick Sciarra's birthday. Don't worry about what number it is. Don't worry about all the details. Just worry about wishing him a happy birthday.
It's a terrible number.
Well,
38, man.
I see that it got the boss's attention when I walked in with the cake and let him know.
So shout out to Joel Blank for getting me the birthday cake. I still got to tweet that out. And then shout out to AJ Hoffman for the bottle of Bullet Rye whiskey.
See? And you told me not to do it, but I told you. And then, lo and behold, who knew he would actually do it too?
Well, not lobby for it on the air.
It wasn't lobbying. I just suggested for those of you that love the Egyptian lover to come forth with whiskey and or food. Those are how to get to your heart quicker.
Yeah. I was planning on getting some whiskey after the show. Now I don't have to buy any because I got this Bullet Rye. Shout out to AJ Hoffman. Now, did you watch any of the Saturday Night Live or happen to go back to see any of the clips of Elon Musk?
I saw a few clips.
So your boy, for the first time in his entire life, downloaded the app that allows you to buy cryptocurrency, right? Because word on the street was it was going to go up, and then Elon Musk was going to poop on it on Saturday Night Live, and then that thing was going to go down. Of course, your boy, being late to everything, didn't buy any of the Doge in time and then wasn't able to win any money. Mm-hmm. But did you hear him admit, and I don't know if he was joking or trolling, that he had Asperger's?
It's become a big deal now.
Yeah. So how about that? A guy who, I'm not sure if he's the richest man in the world. I believe that's Bezos, but I'm pretty sure he has a net worth of close to like $200 billion.
Yeah.
And he has Asperger's. Like, how about that, dude?
I think they said he's the second guy ever or second individual ever with Asperger's that has hosted the show. And I don't know who the first would be, but
he did say, I'm at least the first to admit it.
I don't know that it softens anybody's stance that was against him, including several cast members that were against him hosting it, or if they had a lighter opinion of him than how he did on the show. I wasn't impressed by, he brought his mom on, who a lot of people don't realize is that she's still a model. And you recognize her if you saw her. She's been in a lot of commercials, even recently.
Yeah, when I saw her, I was like, that's your mom? I would have never known. Yeah. The thing that I noticed the first thing that I noticed is that he couldn't stop moving. I'm not saying or trying to make fun of the situation, yeah, but he had he kind of looked like he had Parkinson's, nervous, like Michael J. Fox, and he kept moving. But if you look at the podcast with him and Joe Rogan, he's not moving all over the place like that. So I don't know if it was like,
is the weed,
if he really has Asperger's and that was kicking in because he was nervous. Like, he looked incredibly nervous, but slightly uncomfortable. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but wasn't the Rogan podcast where he was talking about weed, and
well,
for a lot of people,
one up, yeah.
Yeah, and they lit one up. So I was going to say, maybe the weed is what made him calm down so he didn't have that nervous shake or that sway.
Maybe, but I'm pretty sure I remember watching that episode, and the podcast already started before he even inhaled anything. And he just seemed comfortable. But like on the set, and I think it was nerves.
Think about the difference.
Saturday Night Live platform, right,
live
absolutely.
TV, mistakes are going to be called out in a heartbeat with millions of people watching, as opposed to as popular as Rogan's podcast is, you're kicked back and you don't have to worry about being on like that.
Yeah. He seemed like he was moving too much. Some parts were funny. A lot of parts seemed forced, but I thought it was interesting. I think it was in his monologue is when he admitted that he was
at Asperger's.
Yeah, at Asperger's. I don't know.
Got mixed reviews. A lot of people thought he did okay.
Trey didn't like it. Well, Juggalo Trey didn't think it was that good. A lot of my friends didn't think it was that good.
I didn't think it was that impressive either, but I know that everybody had it on the news and was talking about it simply because of who he is and how much he's worth and what he's doing with SpaceX and Tesla. So, He was on Saturday Night Live, and if you missed it, there are ways to see it. But I don't think if you missed it, you didn't miss much.
No, it wasn't like a must-see. I was actually watching it kind of side-by-side with the fight, going back and forth just to see. Guy's 49 years old, and I think his net worth that I Googled was $184 billion. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, I always thought that at some point, when the United States had all these car manufacturers in the country, that there probably would never be a new car manufacturer ever again. This guy literally started a car company. You know how difficult that is?
Yeah.
Let alone an not just a car company, but an electric car company.
Well, and because we think about some of the car companies we've seen go away in the last several years that were here forever and a day. Oldsmobile went away.
Yeah.
You know, there were car companies that just, after being around forever, and to do what he's done and then to do the SpaceX thing, and like you said, to have money not be an object and do all the things that he's been able to do, good for him. I just...
Now I need so much to...
It was dicey with the fact that it had to be awkward for... He knew the cast members that were against him and that were calling him out on Twitter.
Well, he's probably a guy that's used to a lot of resistance. I'm pretty sure when he thought of the idea of starting his own electric car company, it wasn't met with a whole bunch of open arms. You know what I mean?
Probably right.
You know what I mean? The guy is obviously a genius. He's basically a Tony Stark, is what he is. He's a Tony Stark. He's the fake Tony Stark on Twitch. Because he can basically do and say whatever the hell he wants and get away with it. Like, think
about
it.
Wouldn't that be great that you had so much money and you just could do and say whatever the hell you wanted and not have to worry? It's almost like Charles, too. Like, no matter, Charles Barkley is the athlete that could get away with what no other athlete can get away with.
Yeah. I mean, this dude literally said, you know what? Tesla stock is really not worth that. You really shouldn't pay that much for Tesla stock. And then the Tesla stock went down. Like, this dude just does not care. Like, he does not.
There was that one where he used the wrong company name when he was trying to give a name that people should watch. And it was some random ass company on the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
And it went up like just like 100% because he mentioned it.
Yeah. That's why I followed him on Twitter. I need to know when something's going to pop off so I can make some money off this dude.
All right. Headlines of the day. If you're just getting in the car or driving around, Colts have signed former Pro Bowl left tackle Eric Fisher, who was released by the Chiefs. If you remember, he was not available for the Super Bowl, and that was a big deal for Mahomes. Now he's got a one-year, $9.4 million deal to protect Carson Wentz in Indianapolis in your Texans division. So the Colts keep adding. They keep getting better. Have your Texans? Well, they're a couple years away. Other headlines of the day, Jags expected to sign Tim Tebow as a backup tight end to play for his former coach at Florida, Urban Meyer. The Mets are putting Jacob deGrom on the injured list with side tightness. It doesn't look like it's a major injury or anything to do with his arm, but it is the second injury with his back and now his side that have been bothering him. Now he'll be on the IL. There's all this controversy about the Kentucky Derby because Bob Baffert, supposedly, or maybe if you believe Baffert, he didn't and has no idea how it happened, used illegal substances with Medina Spirit. So therefore, that victory at the Kentucky Derby is being investigated.
Well, that's where Lisa should be. Lisa should be all the way over there investigating what the hell they're doing and putting them on blast on Channel 2.
Well, she used to, growing up in California, she used to work with a vet and animal agency that worked to try and help racehorses. Uh-huh. She said it's the dirtiest. Yeah, they don't care about the animals and do whatever they can to get those horses just to run faster.
Yeah, so I can only imagine.
It does bother her. Rapper J. Cole, if you care, is going to try and play professional basketball in Africa. It's a 6-game schedule. How it's even a story on ESPN's front page, I don't know.
Why? Does he have game? Like,
they've shown him at the All-Star game stuff. He can shoot a little. I mean, he looks like he can shoot, and it looks like he's played before.
Okay.
I've seen pickup videos of him playing, too. But I don't know how this is a major story.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, and to be honest with you, he has some smash hits, so I'm not going to knock on him, but like, how big has he been as of late?
Yeah, I can't answer that because I haven't heard anything from him in quite a while. But, I mean, I'm sure he still has appeal.
I'm sure he does.
I don't know that this is going to help, that he's going to go to Africa and play 6 games, but he's going to give it a go.
That's a strenuous schedule right there, 6 games.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I'm sure they're spaced out. In terms of local sports, Astros took the series over the Blue Jays with a 7-4 win yesterday, taking 2 out of 3. They open up another series within the division tonight at home at Minute Maid against the Angels, as the Angels are still not sure who's going to pitch for them after they beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 with a 2-1 victory yesterday, beating Trevor Bauer and company. But Luis Garcia will be on the hill for Dusty Baker.
Also, Brian McTaggart tweets out, no masks in the dugout for the Astros beginning today means Dusty Baker is breaking his toothpick back out. And here's a quote. I've got a whole case of them. So he's ready to...
But will the gloves stay?
I don't know.
Can you... I've thought about this multiple times since I've seen Dusty wear the surgical gloves every day.
Yeah.
How sweaty must his hands be by the end of the day?
Or maybe he's used to it. Or maybe he's a guy that doesn't get, like, clammy hands, because some people are like
that. But, Nick, for the most part, you're running around regardless. It's not exactly... And a lot of these games are outside where it's warmer. His hands got to be sweating.
You would think.
Those things aren't breathable gloves. Those are rubber.
Or maybe it is clammy and he just doesn't care.
I have no idea, but I would not... That would make me uncomfortable, just wearing the damn gloves that whole time with how that would make your hands feel. All right, we're going to continue to roll with hour number three of the program. There's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, throw it our way. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listen line for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. It's Nick and Joel. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So, in doing what we do to give you the best that we can in terms of information, when we said that Elon Musk was at least one of the first two to ever host Saturday Night Live with Asperger's, then it came out, someone texted us and said Dan Aykroyd was the first. I confirmed Dan Aykroyd also with Asperger's, so I guess that would be true. Other names that are on the list, and let me tell you about some talented, smart people. Jerry Seinfeld, Mozart, Michelangelo, Sir Anthony Hopkins, the actor, Stanley Kubrick, the film director, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
That's a pretty salty list of intelligence and talent right there.
Yeah, well, they're known to be, like, those who have Asperger's are known to be super artistic and into science and super creative.
Wait, talk about. So, not only Steve Jobs, but Bill Gates.
Not shocking. Oh, by the way, didn't he just get, like, a settlement? Or, like, he announces his divorce, and then she gets, like, this massive settlement.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Bezos' wife got better, got a much better deal, I feel like.
Because he gave her credit for being part, like, co-founder and co-creator of everything that he created.
Because I want to say she got way more than
a
billion.
She got a massive amount of money. Not that I don't know what Bill Gates' wife got, but I'm sure she was taken care of really well, too. But because Bezos was very fair and open about the fact that they were in partnership, she got paid.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's good for you. And he had, like, this announcement prepared. I feel like he really wanted to call her a B word in the announcement, but he didn't want to do that for the sake of his company.
Or his reputation.
So, but that, I thought that was interesting. I thought that was super interesting. Let's talk about Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook looking. Here's Beal. Hanging. Beal puts it up and in, and that should be the 10th assist, and that will be history. It is. He has tied Oscar Robertson with 181 career triple-doubles.
To be in a conversation with Oscar, for one, you know, I want to just thank him because he set the stage and he sacrificed a lot of things for us to be able to go out and play, and the times he played in and the things he was able to do back in the day has allowed me to be able to do the things I want to do today. And I'm just grateful for him and I'm grateful for his words. And I'm so appreciative of his support as well.
It's amazing how much he's been able to turn around his reputation, Joel. The fact that he's always been kind of accused of being this stat guy that always wants to get the stats and the triple double. And now his teammates would help him out. The reputation has completely flipped 180.
I don't know that it has, though.
At least right now, everybody.
How did his biggest hater do today? Because Palillo absolutely crushes him.
No, he didn't. He didn't crush him. The only thing that he said was he continued to make fun of Brooks for calling him the second best point guard of all time. Okay. That's what he criticized. Right. But other than that, he wasn't really hard on Russell.
Because he crushes him for his three-point shooting and his horrible
shooting.
Well,
he did say that.
All of that. And then he always brings up he's a career 21% three-point shooter. And he's, you know, the thing is that on the positive side, just statistically, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he's going to be go down with a very, very highly touted reputation because of the triple-doubles, because of the numbers. And some of the just the size of the sheer numbers. When you look at even recently on the tear that he's been on, getting these triple doubles, in a lot of cases, it's been with more than 15 rebounds and assists in those games. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But where it comes to where he's open for criticism are on two fronts. One, from a shooting perspective, there's no one that can think that, and you and I talked about this last week, that you can think a lot of Russell Westbrook, but you have to be honest with yourself, with him, and even if he gets defensive, he can't shoot, and really, as a scorer, he only scores mid-range and going downhill to the basket. But you saw it in the game in which he tied Oscar Robertson. The Indiana game, he had a chance to win it in regulation and couldn't get his own shot and couldn't get it to go. And then in the overtime, he was fouled. Now, he made both free throws, but it was a questionable foul call, too. Now, he made a great block to save the game, and he blocked Caris LeVert, who had another massive game.
That was a really good block.
But overall, you couple that with the other bigger criticism of Russell Westbrook is he's never won. In the last 5 years, the farthest he's gone is last year with the Rockets when he lost in the second round to the Lakers. Otherwise, he's been eliminated in the first round every single year. His only trip to the finals was that with the Thunder when he had James Harden and Serge Ibaka and Kevin Durant. So as great of a teammate as everybody says he is, too, there's something to be said about the fact that he gets numbers. He's an all-time great statistically, but he's always going to have that knock on him because he can't win as in a team situation. His teams have never won, and then you also factor in his lack of being able to shoot and score like that.
No one thought that Russell Westbrook, unless you're a Washington fan, I would imagine, thought that he was going to go on that roster and win a championship for him. They just don't have the talent. The roster's not there yet. But I've been saying this for weeks. I've been saying, look, we're highlighting guys like Russell Westbrook. We're highlighting guys like Dame Lillard each and every day and how amazing their statistics look like. None of those guys are ever going to win a championship. Not with the teams that they're on right now. It's just not going to happen. So it always makes me wonder to a certain extent. It does make me wonder whether or not if I was put in that situation, making $40, $42, $43, $44 million a year, if I really would take that pay cut. I would say I would assume no. But if you really think about it, if two or three of these NBA stars, Joel, actually take a pay cut, they can start playing together and they can really win some championships. But with the way the budget is set up and the TV dollars are set up, you really can only handle two max players on a roster for the most part. Sometimes three.
2 to 3, yeah.
But it's for the most part, it's two, and it's just difficult. It's just difficult. So I love watching Russell Westbrook. I like watching the highlights of Russell Westbrook, but it's the same knock with Dame. It's the same knock with Russell Westbrook. You're not going to win with them being the man and the best player on that team because they just don't have enough talent on the roster.
Here's what I would say, though, Nick. He had enough talent on the roster last year with Houston, and he got to the second round, so at least he got a round past where he's been used to getting.
But they had an inconsistent Eric Gordon. Their key players were
nonetheless, he had more talent than he's had since he had his loaded up OKC days,
team. That's right? Fair, yeah.
Then you see the Washington team, and though it's not great, to your point, they wouldn't have won the title. But you got Bradley Beal, who's the second leading scorer in the league.
Okay.
All right. And you've got Rui Hachimura, and you've got the kid they brought back, Davis Bertans, who can shoot.
But this is a part of the struggle that we're going through right here.
No, they got some young players around them that are decent. They're actually on a tear right now where they've played their way into getting into, at the very minimum, the playoff tournament. So they're going to be in the tournament. But you ask yourself, well, why wasn't, if they were this good late and Beal and Russ have been there all year, why were they so bad for the majority of the season? That has to also factor into Russ's reputation. That has to factor in. I don't care how good of a teammate you are on the bench, in the locker room, off the court. On the court, something's going wrong where you're not getting the most out of the guys around you.
Yeah. Well, and that is on someone like him, because he is the guy that tends to create, and he is the one that's getting all these triple doubles, right? A lot of them is because he's getting 10 or more assists. So you would think he'd be that guy. And it also makes me wonder that they gave up on the James Harden. He gave up on the James Harden situation. Whether it was James Harden's fault or Russell Westbrook, the fact that they only played together for 1 year was such was so telling to me. And
I'll tell you what happened. I've told you this before, but I'll tell you exactly how it all fell into place. When they found out Rafael Stone was going to be the GM, especially Russ, Russ despised Rafael Stone. Russ was like, last straw for me. It was personal. He just he didn't believe in him, and he also didn't want to be in that situation, and he really didn't like being around him. On the flip side, Rafael was enamored with reuniting John Wall and Boogie Cousins from that Kentucky team, and he also had seen the videos of John Wall working out over the summer as he was trying to prove to NBA teams he could play again, and thought, well, and he knew Russ didn't like him anyway. So he knew he wanted to take this chance. He thought reuniting Boogie and Wall would make people forget about Russ. Now, again, I don't know that with Russ on this team, they're a whole hell of a lot better than they are with than they were with John Wall. But one thing I know from Russ is I'm going to see you every night as much as possible, putting up 40 to 50 minutes a game, depending on if it goes overtime or not. And I know you're going to give me 150% every single time you're on the floor, as opposed to what we've seen this year with John Wall.
Yeah, and still, my point really, and I knew you were going to bring that story back up, but still, it does say something about your character. When you wanted to play with that guy, and you only stayed with 1 year. Like, there's got to be a little bit more resilience in my mind with some of these star players. Just because it gets a little chippy or you feel like you're going to be the best player on a really bad team, I don't feel like you should give up so quickly, especially when you're making all that money. And look, how many times have you decided to make a request and go play somewhere else? We always talk about how good of a teammate he is, and that's all fine and gravy. But you've still been a guy that's not been happy with the situation time and time again, and then you went somewhere else and it didn't work. So,
but the proof behind that, Nick, is of the two guys that wanted out, Harden insisted that he go to the Brooklyn Nets and go to a winner. Russ took a trade to the damn Wizards. So he knew going in what a hellhole that was going to be in terms of wins and losses, and just wanted out that bad or badly enough.
He also didn't have the leverage that Harden had. He didn't play with the Rockets long enough, so he can't sit there and dictate
that. That's fair.
He can't dictate where he was going. Harden could, and he got away with it, and it was very evident.
But his contract also was tough to move. So just like we thought Chris Paul's contract was tough to move, the fact that, but if you're Washington, you absolutely think you're in purgatory. Like, you got a guy that's been two major injuries, paying $40 million a year. You figure you're stuck with him for the next three, and there is no escape route. And you get a team that calls you up and goes, hey, you want Russell Westbrook for him? Well, one thing I know is I'm trading a guy with these two major injuries that we don't even know if he's going to be able to play. And in return, I'm getting a former MVP, an all-star, a guy that's going to play his ass off hard every night with big numbers. I'll take that chance.
Yeah, well, and Harden has never been Russell's issue. It's never been issue at all. It's always been, I guess, just not being on the team that can really go over the hump. That one team was KD with Ibaka. That team was unbelievable. Had that team just stayed together, there was a legit chance. I would even argue 85% chance that they won the championship that year had they just stuck it out. But for whatever reason, egos gets involved, and it just doesn't work out. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously a massive milestone for Russell Westbrook to do what he did with Oscar Robertson, and a lot of respect for Russell Westbrook for being able to do something like that.
But part of it was his own doing too, which we got to be honest about too. We can commend him all we want for his play and everything like that.
Who, Russell's or James?
If Russ doesn't piss off Kevin Durant I've said this multiple times, he didn't like being Robin. He wanted to be Batman. He wanted to be the star of the show.
And again, 180 reputation. He went from that to being a stat whore when KD left to, oh, look how amazing he is. That's what gets me about these views and these perceptions of players. Like, you guys want to give him credit at random times. Like, you want to give him all this love because he's playing for Washington?
Well, the numbers, like, speak for themselves. You have to credit.
But you're not going to do anything with that squad, though. But they're giving him this credit like he's Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, they're making it seem like, they're obviously not saying he's as good as Michael Jordan, but they're making it seem like he's like the best player to ever touch a basketball. And he's been on multiple teams with multiple opportunities and could not win a championship.
Yeah, see, I'm not one of those people. I will give him credit where his credit is due. The numbers you can't argue with. And because those are numbers that no one else has been able to accomplish, like I said, he's first ballot Hall of Famer. But in terms of his ability to win from a team situation, it's going to be a knock that he can't escape unless somehow, some way, he finds a way to play with a team that's loaded up and can get him a title.
It's just amazing to me. And every time someone's done playing with him, oh, he was a great teammate. Paul George, I couldn't work it out with Russell Westbrook, but he was the best teammate I ever played with. Well, why'd you just stick it out? Like, it's just weird how that works, man. It's just weird. I know there's always other stories behind closed doors and egos and politics. I get it, but it's just funny. Like, everybody and their mom thought, oh, when Paul George requested the trade, it had to be Russell Westbrook. Oh, it's definitely because of Russell Westbrook. Oh, he hates Russell Westbrook. And then Paul George, after he signs with the Clippers, goes out and says, oh, Russell Westbrook, one of the best teammates I've ever played with. It's funny how that works.
Yep. All right, we got a half hour to go on the show when we come back, so stick with us for the final 30 minutes. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7, and they're back. Fred, AJ, Aaron, they're going to have plenty to talk about as well, and that's what will get you home on your afternoon and evening commute. So the 30 minutes is on the clock when we come back on the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Summer right around the corner. You want to get that spring back in your step and feel like you felt like in your 20s? Well, you can with Apollo Men's Health. Apollo Men's Health has two locations conveniently located near downtown Houston in the Pearland and Lake Jackson area. And Dr. O and his staff are focused on making you the plan that will work and get you to feeling like you've never felt before, or maybe only felt like in your 20s. From the boardroom to the bedroom to the weight room, they have solutions to your issues. If you're honest with them and answer their questions, they're going to find a program that works for you to get you your results. It's simple. Your health is your wealth, and you need to invest in yourself. You do so by making your first appointment. You call 832-664-9966, or you go to apollomh.com. When you book that first appointment, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. You mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot on your initial visit, and the process is going to go from there. From full body composition analysis and HGH peptide therapy to all the different hormone therapies that they have, check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They're good people doing great things. It's the people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
More good news if you're an Astros fan. They're expecting Jake Odorizzi to make his return by the end of May. Now the word from Dusty Baker on Framber Valdez is that he might come in this week to Minute Maid Park to throw a bullpen session before he goes out for rehab. It's still up in the air, but they're saying that he is working exceptionally hard. Carlos Correa talking to him 2 days ago, telling him to hurry up because he needs my ground balls. We have too many strikeout pitchers here, but if you can add Odorizzi and Framber to the stable of the young pitchers and Zach Greinke that you already have, along with Lance McCullers, your bullpen will no doubt get better when one or two of those guys, and I would assume Garcia is one of those guys, get slid to the bullpen, so they can pick up long relief and more innings. And then if we ever see Baez and whatever the hell happened to him ever since they acquired him from the Dodgers, because at first it was COVID, then it was arm-related, now it's 60 days on the IL, I just need someone in the bullpen, one or two arms, that can replace the steady dose of Brooks Raley and Joe Smith.
I was just going to say, it's music to your ears, because if he does indeed come back at the time frame that they're talking about, maybe your boy Joe Smith gets a few less reps.
I don't need Josh James trying to help me out. But other than that, they do have some arms. And Ole Paredes should be close too. Get him back. There's another extra arm so that we can lighten the load. Because every single time they go to the pen, I got to see Abreu. And then I got to hear about how lightning his stuff is and how electric it is till he figures out he can't throw a strike.
No.
And then I got to see Brooks Raley. And then I got to see another loss. And then I got to see Joe Smith. And then I never see another out.
If he comes back and does semi-well, it makes things easy for Click, because then they could address the void that they have at center field with Miles Straw that you keep addressing. And maybe they can spend their money and their attention elsewhere. So if the pitching doesn't become an issue like we thought it would be, because when we going into the season, what did we think? We thought the bats were going to be more of an issue, or did we think the pitching was going to be more of an issue?
And I think there were more question marks about the bats.
Yeah. And so No, but there was questions about the pitching going into this season.
Yeah, there was some question about the pitching, but you got, remember now, in the playoffs, you got all those young pitchers that did really, really, really well. So you were encouraged by the fact that under team control, you had a lot of good young pitching for the next 5 years. The question marks were, would Altuve and Yuli bounce back? Would Yordan be healthy and also be able to bounce back? Those were three massive question marks right off the top. And then you knew you were probably going to lose Springer. And who was going to replace him?
Yeah.
And, of course, they still haven't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and look, they still haven't replaced Gerrit Cole. They still haven't replaced Justin Verlander. You know, those were big, massive, massive holes. Obviously, they've been without Cole. But, and look, at the end of the day, if is it Odorizzi? They say May or June, they said he'd come back.
Odorizzi by the end of May.
May. Okay. Well, that's even better. I thought you said June. That's even better.
No. Fromber is in June.
Oh, okay. That's even better. Yeah. Okay. Well, that works out then. That works out. Field Yates tweets out, Tim Tebow last played in an NFL game 3,053 days ago. And then David Carr, former Houston Texans quarterback, says, I played in that same game against Tim, and I can assure you I'm not prepared to play H-back. I can't believe Tim Tebow's getting another opportunity. Really? That's crazy to me.
It is unbelievable. I don't know he'll make the team. I think it's a great story. I think that there's a relationship with Urban that has been so publicized that it just brings more attention and another story for a team that desperately needs it with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer.
And it helps with ticket sales.
Yeah, so the Jags are trying to do whatever they can to draw attention to themselves.
They may not need as much tarp over there in Jacksonville. But now they've got a good quarterback. I mean, I guess they probably were going to sell more tickets anyway, being the fact, you know, considering they got the first round pick, the first overall pick. You know what I mean? So they probably were going to sell more tickets anyway. But Tim Tebow, it kind of adds to that.
Yeah.
It definitely adds to that.
Excuse me. I was just reading this. You know who Mike Acosta is?
No.
Mike Acosta's been with the Astros for like 20-some years. He's their, like, historian. Whenever they had all the seats to come out of the dome and, you know, they labeled all the key seats and the one he done. And then when they started, like, the baseballs. And, you know, all the different stuff in Astros history, it's all been him. And he just came out on Twitter and said, after 22 years, there's changes. And he said that thanks to COVID-19 and the furloughs and the pandemic and all the other things, his position was eliminated.
Really?
That's really sad for a guy that spent that long just, I mean, he was the Astros historian. Everything from that Hall of Fame they're doing now with all the inductees and that Hall of Fame out in the outfield and all the things they've done memorabilia-wise in the Dome, it's all been him. That's sad, man.
I mean, where do you move on from? If you've been doing it for 22 years in terms of their history and everything, and you've been doing that for 22 years, like, and he has a little Ari Gold in him, doesn't he? He looks like a little bit like Ari Gold.
A little bit. He talk about being pigeonholed into, I mean, it's hard to say, well, I was the Astros historian. What does that translate in the business world? How do I get another job? I don't think any team's looking for a historian. And on that same note, we always laughed about the Rockets with the ball adults. And then I told you that Ricky Rosa and his brother have been ball boys for the Texans since day one. And I think it's like 20-some years that he and his brother have been on the field and making sure that the officials get the football from the sideline on every play and everything like that. He Facebook messaged his friends last night, I think it was, or two nights ago, and said, well, after 20-some years, this is how it's going to end. I got a letter in the mail today and said my services would no longer be needed. And he felt like he got Easter beat.
Well, I mean, they did it via letter?
Yeah.
Why don't you just go up to him and say, hey, look.
I said, did you get Easter beat? And he really believes it. Now, we can make all the jokes we want about Deflategate and if the balls don't have enough air in them and anything like that. But you're really going to go to the levels of taking the ball guys out that have been there for 20-some years?
How much money are you possibly saving, though?
Exactly.
That's my question.
And you got to train someone else to do the job that they've been doing every year? It's ridiculous.
You're a special type of weasel if Easterby's the one responsible for that. Dude, if Easterby's the one who got him fired, that's a special type of weasel. That's next level weasel right there.
He's going top to bottom and just trying to put his stamp on things. The Easterby era cannot end soon enough.
God, that sounds terrible. I really hope it's not. It's not because of Jack Easterby. Now,
I asked him point blank on Facebook about it, and he basically said, yeah, they got Easterby. And that he was going to tell me on the side.
So, wow.
I feel bad for those guys.
Well, maybe he could be like a baseball historian and kind of transition that way and go like national maybe baseball history.
Maybe Mike Acosta can now be a ball boy, and maybe Ricky Rosa can now be the Astros historian. I don't know. I'm just trying to keep guys in there to have jobs.
He does have a little Ari Gold in him with the black rim glasses.
I'm sure he doesn't have the same vocabulary. I've heard probably. Mike's a very, very nice guy. I think Mike's friends with Charlie, which tells you that he probably has to be a very nice guy.
Oh, the historian is friends with Charlie? That's a shocker,
right?
That's a massive shocker. A guy that knows everything about Astros baseball is friends with Charlie.
I only bring the facts to you, Nick. I put them there, and then you do with them what you will. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We'll wrap it up next. Turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It is the Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back to wrap things up on a Monday on the Press Box. Appreciate you guys being with us throughout the entire program as we've been rocking and rolling through sports and other things.
Normal crew back. The Blitz 4-7. Palillo was back today.
Yeah, yeah. Your point is what?
What? I'm just saying, if anybody missed Charlie Palillo, obviously with an exception of you, because you never miss Charlie Palillo.
I got to pick up after him. Then I got to make sure that the charger's available when he comes back. Then he's so cheap he doesn't buy his own charger. So
Tyler came through and saved him in the clutch. He had an HP. What are the chances that Tyler had an HP laptop charger, the one that would fit Charlie Palillo's old ancient ass dinosaur ass?
What are the chances that Charlie goes
away
for more than a week and can't invest in another charger just so he can use his computer while he's gone and be ready for his show when he comes back? I mean, that's brutal.
Hey, word on the street is that we can get a, what did they say, a used Mac charger
used
for
Mac
15
chargers,
bucks?
Or you can go to, for 15 bucks.
See,
just
I didn't
go
know
to
that.
Amazon.
I didn't know you can get a used Mac charger for
what we were told,
bucks.
Sir. That's what we were told. And it was right there in the text line. And so if it was on the text line, it has to be true. And so their MacBook Air chargers, 15 bucks on Amazon. They work perfectly fine, too.
He'll take a shot at you on tomorrow's show to get you back for what you're
Charlie,
saying today.
I carried his damn charger for 10 days. He better not.
He threw out the...
What, on this week in baseball? He'll delve off the beaten path.
He threw out this hypothetical about a potential trade between the Houston Texans and the Green Bay Packers.
Because he's a week late for what we've already talked about on our shows.
That's true.
I mean, seriously, go back to the bird sanctuary.
Oh, yeah. Those were loud. He literally was traumatized for about 2 seconds when I played the bird sound effects at the beginning of the show. He thought those birds followed his ass all the way from New York.
Let me ask you a question. He has a reputation for being a smart guy, but a smart guy that wouldn't invest in a second charger because you forgot the
You're
first one before you left. No, because it gets worse than that too, right? So that's a smart guy. I don't get that. Then you're a smart guy. You're going to do remotes from your mom's house, I believe it was, while you're out of town, but you know it's going to be on radio. Why would you pick the only room in the house that has a bird nest in the air conditioning and sounds like you're trying to do bad things to Tweety Bird? I don't. Smart guys don't make decisions like that.
I mean, I'm letting you. You keep taking shots at Charlie.
I get smart guys use all 7 weeks of their vacation, and that's fine. But come on, man. There's other. Is this like book smart versus common sense smart?
I guess.
Oh, suddenly you cat's got your tongue.
No. I'm enjoying that you're taking all the shots. Well, but, I mean, I could take shots at him too. I'm just saying. I just appreciate you taking all the shots. Yeah. It's funner.
Well,
that's a word.
I just decided to throw it out there because someone's got to say it. Everybody's like, oh no, Charlie's so smart and Charlie's this and Charlie's that. Charlie also told you Blake Griffin had nothing left.
Oh, you're just bringing up all kinds of old wounds up.
Yeah. What else? Charlie also told you Russell Westbrook was crap.
Talked about your mom on the show too.
My mom?
Yeah.
In what way?
He didn't say anything.
You're damn right he didn't. Okay, so there's all of that.
No, but he's back. So if you're happy for, with an exception of Joel, if you're happy that Charlie Palillo's back, he's back every day.
Yeah, and Now you get one of the, you get one of Palillo's army coming at me, going, "Sounds like you're jealous."
Of course.
Oh yeah, you're darn right.
If you take 3-4 minutes to take shots at Charlie Palillo, of course someone's going to come to his defense. It's inevitable, right?
Is it?
I mean, to anybody. If you take shots at anybody on the fourth floor, someone's going to be a fan of that person, right?
That's true. Yeah, I bet a lot of people have to stick up for me with AJ. So we got Astros tonight, Rockets tonight. No one's staying up late to watch the Rockets in Portland.
Isn't it like a 9 o'clock
yeah.
start? Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, the Blazers obviously need this game. I guarantee you after this game, we're going to talk about how amazing Dame is because he's obviously going to have to play at his best because of the play-in tournament.
No.
So they're just going to put a whooping on the Rockets, and everybody's going to talk about how amazing Dame Lillard is and blah, blah,
blah, blah.
What
we should
blah,
be talking
blah,
about
blah.
Is why didn't Carmelo work out here when he's worked out so well in Portland? Because he's cracked the top 10 in all-time scorers now, only because he's been very productive with the Trailblazers. Why did it work out there and not work out here?
I have a theory, and you can probably tell me I'm wrong.
Fine. Bring it.
I don't think he has to focus on the defensive switching and stuff on Portland like he had to do over here in Houston. He did not handle the switching well at all, and it took away from his offensive game.
But Nicky's the guy never was been terrible. Known as a defender. And neither is
so
Mike
not a
D'Antoni
good,
system.
So why is there a positive light being shed about him right now when he's not playing defense in Portland?
Because he's scoring points.
Well, are they switching? Do they switch a lot on their defense?
Was Daryl, and it was also the fact
that... No, but for Portland, they don't have that type of defense, do they?
I mean, I haven't watched them that closely lately to know what they're doing defensively. I just know that he's a much-needed third scorer that they've had to have all year. Covington's been hurt most of the year. They went out and gave up some good young players to get Norman Powell, thinking he was going to do some things. He's been okay. But overall, Carmelo's been a huge shot in the arm for them in a positive way for the last 2 years. So, I mean, it's like I know Daryl was hard on him. I know that it was tough for him to admit that he had to come off the bench. He didn't want to do that. But it's just kind of – it's still putting the ball in the hoop, which he's been able to do in Portland. I don't understand why he couldn't do it here.
Well, they reduced his minutes, though. He's not getting the same minutes. He's averaging 13.5 points per game. Last year, he averaged 15.4 points per game, but he was getting a little bit more minutes. It looks like he's averaging a little bit over 24 minutes a game when he was close to 30 his first year with Portland and with Houston as well. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, but look, the guy's playing efficiently, I think, for the most part, and that's enough. As long as you can get an efficient Carmelo Anthony and, I guess, some sort of presence on defense, I guess that's what you get out of him. I mean, that's enough.
Could be, you know what? It could have been James, Nick, because James is a guy that was selfish about how much he had the ball in his hands all the time. He wasn't always willing to pass it, whereas Dame seems to be a guy that doesn't matter who gets it as long as they get it and they win games. And Dame's a bit more of a pass first. I wouldn't say pass first because he still gets his, but he distributes.
Yeah,
and they play a different offensive style. So it might not even be defense. It might be the fact that
it could be James
offensively
too.
More guys touch the ball in Portland.
Although James normally wouldn't defend your ass when it was all said and done and they knew that Carmelo was done with the team. I was in the locker room and James would always defend Carmelo and say it's not his fault. He's still a good player. He's a Hall of Famer. Chris Paul would do the same thing. But maybe James Harden was defending him and behind closed doors we didn't know the relationship. I can assure you Carmelo Anthony had no problem with Chris Paul.
No, Chris and Carmelo, LeBron and
I can
D-Wade,
assure you.
Those guys are like, I forget what they call them, the banana boat when they took the vacation
together
that's
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Those guys are super tight. Those four. But I don't know how James fits into that mix.
I mean, he was defending him, but again, that doesn't necessarily mean that they liked each other. But when he was done and was all said and done and he wasn't going to make a return with the Houston Rockets, they were defending him. They were saying it wasn't his fault. They were calling him a Hall of Famer. And it wasn't just Chris Paul. Chris Paul was just that guy that he tends to endorse teammates anyway. Like, if you know anything about Chris Paul, he's really good about giving credit where credit's due, particularly to his teammates, because he wants to uplift them and make sure that they do well when he's on the court. That's kind of in his nature. James Harden is not as good as that on that in some cases, but yeah.
Little reminder for you people, tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour, the soon-to-be Hall of Famer, Rudy Tomjanovic, is going to join us for a segment or two. So he's going to chop it up with us and get to some anecdotes and other things that we'll get out of him in terms of memories with the Rockets, the fact he's finally going in, and all those things that go with what might be the greatest Hall of Fame class in the history of the Hall of Fame, which will be this coming weekend, I believe, coming up. So Rudy's going to spend some time with us, gracious enough to do that, as we confirm that during the show today. So look forward to that. And look forward to the Blitz, because they're coming up next. That means Fred, AJ, Aaron are going to take you home from 4 to 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a good night, everybody. Yeah.
ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.